covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Somehow, some way, the Brewers won the series with virtually nothing with runners in scoring position, virtually nothing from their starting pitching. The bullpen put the team on its back and said, I got this. And the crew somehow take 2 out of 3 in the desert. They win today by a final of 3-2. Brewers extra innings here on 620 WTMJ. I'm Dominic Catronio. We've got reinforcements today. Craig Kishon is with us today. And the way I look at this one, Craig, is, look, Jake Bauer's rakes, we know that. They were due. They had so much bad luck. I mean, Churio hit a ball to dead center field that would have been gone in 27 other ballparks. Just not this one. They hit some balls 111 off the bat that had nothing to show for it. Then finally, Jake Bauer's and the baseball gods smile and say, I got this, and finally send a ball over the wall that turned out to be it took the lead, obviously. The Brewers would add a key insurance run later, but just to finally say, keep pecking, the Woodpeckers came back and they got one over the fence.
And the great part about that, Dom, is it was against Eduardo Rodriguez, the all-star pitcher who was, he was dealing until that point in the top of the seventh inning as well. And, you know, leave it to Bauers, though. I mean, if you think about this, these two could end up being teammates in the all-star game before all the assignments are done here. Who knows if Bauers will get in or not, but... you know, look, I mean, you kind of said everything, laid it out, how the series went. In all honesty, as bad luck as the starting pitching was in all three games, they still had a chance to potentially sweep this series. But you just want to win series on the road, and that's what really, really good teams do. They find a way. This was a complete grind out as far as the pitching went top to bottom, and I know you're going to dive into it and whatnot, but what a sweet series win, man. From that seventh inning on, this whole game just absolutely flipped.
This was a game for the Brewers that, with everything that was going wrong in their direction, Sproat only going 4 innings, you know, buzzkill line shots getting caught, or balls in the gap getting caught, or not being able to sustain anything against Eduardo Rodriguez. And quite frankly, Murph playing a hunch today with the amount of lefties he had in the order against the lefty Eduardo Rodriguez. I think that the Brewers, I'm not saying they were set up for failure, but they got behind the eight ball for a little while there. But then you look up, it felt a lot worse than it actually was. You know, as Erod was dealing, the Brewers were still only down one run as Sproat kind of righted the ship despite as many pitches as he threw. We'll talk about that in a moment. But for the Brewers to be this team, like they did this a couple of times against Cincinnati, and you can tell right now that the grind is getting to them. We'll talk about that in the third segment. But it's just that what I see from this team right now, Craig, is they know their floor is so much higher than what it's ever been, meaning that their standard is higher than it has ever been. And I'm not trying to say this is they want to win, or they just had that gusto, they had that team. Like, the standard that you knew somebody was going to come through in this lineup today in doing their role. Churio continues to hit the ball hard. Jake Bauers, we just touched on him. He got his third homer of the season against a left-handed pitcher. He came into the year with only 8 career homers against left-handed pitching. So he's found a new gear of being able to play every day. And then you look at somebody like Joey Ortiz, who's suddenly been in the middle of clutch situations and has been delivering the last 2 weeks or so, despite the rest of the team not doing so around him.
Well, I think right now what I'm seeing with this team and how they've developed over the last, really this year especially, the amount of trust I think that that Murph has with these guys, the amount of trust I think that the organization has with whoever they need to bring up from AAA to help out, especially pitching-wise. We all know how that's going right now. And then to be in a spot where they're trusting, you know, lefty versus lefty now. I mean, Dom, it didn't seem like it was more than a year or two ago when we dreaded when an opposing starter was intentionally set up to face a lefty versus the Brewers lineup. I mean, that was not that long ago. And now they're beating all-star left-handed pitchers here right now that he's had. Rodriguez has had a great year. But I just think, to me, the whole trust thing of, guess where we are now in this whole development plan and how we've laid things out and how guys have, you know, developed for us and how far they've come. And you know, we're bringing up some young guys now. So it's pretty amazing to me that they just, to me, this weekend was, trust me, you're going to win this series. Just have some trust in one another. And I completely see that with this team, you know, player for player, whether a guy is, you know, around for forever or a guy is, you know, going to be shuffled back and forth four or five times. The trust value is pretty high here right now.
And on the left-handed pitcher note, you just go back to 2023 for the Brewers, right? Against lefties that season, they were 21st in all of baseball. They were under 500 against left-handed starters. They were 22 and 26. The following year, they were 500. They were at 24 and 24. And then, of course, last year, it helps to have the most wins in baseball. But the Brewers had the best record in baseball against left-handed pitching. And now, after today, they're the second best record in baseball against left-handed pitching. It's a full flip, like you talked about. Good call, Craig, where it's just that you are trusting the lefties to be in there. Bryce Terang being an everyday player against lefties. We just talked about Jake Bowers. You have Andrew Vaughn in the same lineup, and he's really cooled off against lefties as of late. Shocker, he wasn't going to hit 500 all year long against southpaws. But you have Churio. You won a game against a lefty, Craig, where you didn't even have William Contreras take a single at bat in this game. And Gary's double came against a righty. I think that when I look at this lineup, and I've said this over and over again, that the floor is so high that when they have a series like this and a two-week stretch like this where it just feels like the offense is stuck in the mud, that this is the worst that they can play. They're not getting shut out. They're still hitting the ball over the fence. They're still finding ways to get on base. That's a very different offense that we've seen in the last three, four seasons in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and, you know, I will lead the group, and it's going to be a big group that says, I really want this team to obviously come through way more often with runners in scoring position, even with the guys on base, if they're not in scoring position, get these guys into position. I think it's going to come. I really believe baseball goes in patterns. And right now they haven't been in a good pattern when it comes with runners in scoring position. Today they didn't have a ton of opportunities anyway, but they were still in the game. So that offense will come around, and everybody's got to take their turns here right now. And right now, as much as the bullpen has been absolutely called into duty way earlier than they should have in this entire series, they're holding things together. Now they've got a big dreadful series potentially on the board coming up against St. Louis, but they'll figure it out. I really think they'll figure it out. And I know we'll talk more about that later, but this team is where they are. They've positioned themselves really, really nicely over the last couple of years as being an elite team in Major League Baseball. And we can't discount what it takes to win games, because they're capable of doing anything it takes to win games and coming out on top more often than not.
You know, when I look at it for the Brewers, since the reinforcements arrived, you know, in Andrew Vaughn and Jackson Churio on May 4th, the Brewers have only been shut out once since May 4th. And they were getting shut out for the majority of this contest. And that was against the San Francisco Giants in a game that they lost 1-0. There are only two teams in that time that have not been shut out in that stretch. And the Yankees have been shut out in that stretch. I know one of those teams is going to be, no, it's not Atlanta. I'll have to double check that. I'll come back with you on that. But the point that I'm trying to make is that they're an offense that you have to get all 27 outs against. It's a cliche. I don't like using cliches, but it's the truth in that the standard for the Brewers, again, Yelich has been, you know, really in a brutal slump right now. They're not getting anything out of their three-hole hitter. They haven't really been getting anything out of the left side of the infield until recently with Joey Ortiz this last week. So The fact that you can point to a lot of things that are still going wrong, and yet they win another series. Like, they've won back-to-back series in their division against, you know, Cincinnati and now Arizona, I should say, in their league. And now they get the tough one with St. Louis, like you're talking about. That momentum will come. Fight through the glut, and you will make it out on the other side. Pitching, though, yes, Brandon Sproat struggled, but still only gave up one run. There's multiple ways you can look at it. It's all in the eye of the beholder. Are you an optimist? Are you a pessimist? We'll find out coming up after the break as the Brewers win 3-2 over the Diamondbacks. Back with more in a moment on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Whether it's a day out on the lake, the golf course, or going to the ballpark, well, make sure you come home with comfort at Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. You can keep your AC running at its best with a midsummer checkup. So visit Cider, S-E-I-D-E-R.com, to schedule service today and stay cool all summer long. This was a hot and cold sort of day for Brandon Sproat because, once again, as we were used to seeing right now with Craig Kishon, I'm Dom Cotroneo, Sproat has had his struggles in the first inning. In fact, three of the first four batters he faced in this game had a full count. He gave up back-to-back one-out doubles to Perdomo and to Carroll. Then he walked Moreno to have runners on first and second. He managed to get out of that frame without further damage, thank goodness. And quite frankly, he walked the tightrope the rest of the game, having a base runner in each of the next three innings, and somehow only allowed that one run from the first inning, but the price was 92 pitches long. What did you see from Brandon Sproat today? Did you learn anything? Did you see anything that we've seen before about his outing this afternoon?
I mean, to me, Dom, he is just too inexperienced right now as a first-year starter in the majors and a guy that's got he has a long leash to keep that job. We all understand that. And, you know, I think with Woody going down, it gets even longer at this point. And I think if the organization and Murph and everybody thinks that this is a guy that they just need to keep thrown out there every 5 days, that's fine. I trust them on that. But he is going to have days like this, and he's going to have obviously some days where we've seen him pitch very, very well. And so I think you just have to take this each start with a grain of salt, because you don't know what's going to happen until he actually takes the mound. But the bottom line for me, Dom, is this was another outing where, even though it was only four innings and it was a lot of pitches and it was a lot of three ball counts and it was a grind, every single inning was a grind, I'm still looking at this saying he very much kept this team in the game while he was in the game. He can't control anything from the fifth inning on. He pitched his four innings, but he only gave up a run. So thankfully for that, and thankfully they have some really elite pitchers in the way they had it all lined up, that, you know, Ash and Ribe and McGill were all able to pitch in this game, as it turned out, and they covered a pretty good back end of innings. So to me, he's still in the learning process. I think that learning process for him is going to go all the way to the end of this season. It's probably going to go into next season too. So I'm trying to be patient with him. This club has keeps going on record saying they see a lot of potential with this guy, and we've seen flashes of it. But you're not going to know what you get until he actually gets on the mound and pitches in his game.
This is a rookie, exactly. And I think that the Brewers are understanding. And we can go ahead and start talking about this because we're past the halfway point. Trade deadline's less than a month away. The Brewers are going to be in October, knock on wood, okay? I don't see a epic collapse. Now, part of the reason I'm bringing this up is because Brandon Sproat is essentially auditioning for the next 3 months to say, I should be on a playoff roster. Right now, he is not on that playoff roster because he hasn't done anything to earn that spot. I shouldn't say anything, but I should say he hasn't performed the way that you would want somebody to be trusted in a playoff position, because when things get tough, you can see he gets a little rattled. You can see he struggles with command in really big moments. And the number one stat that jumps out to me about his performance today is not barely being over 50% strikes, but rather just 8 for 20 on first pitch strikes. And I tweeted the visual of all of the pitches on 0-0 counts. Some of them are not even close, Craig. And I think that command is generally the hardest thing to train. And it could be him working through mechanical stuff, like Chris Hook has talked about, trying to clean up his windup, trying to keep things as simple as possible. So he's fighting through a new mechanical change, and we see the spray and the lack of command and completely missing his target. That's something that he's going through at the big league level. Stuff like this normally gets hidden in AAA. So he's got probably another 14 or so starts on the season. And his audition is basically saying, what have I learned up here to this point to say I deserve to be considered for a postseason roster spot? Because quite frankly, as the Brewers move forward, that's all they really care about. Who's going to be that third arm now that Brandon Woodruff's down and for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, no, it's a really good topic on that with Sproat. I don't see him right now being a postseason guy either. And I'm not sure, you know, if you really get down to brass tacks, how is he going to help you out of the bullpen if you don't know what you're going to get when he is preparing to be a starter? So to me, it's just continue on this mission. He's healthy. He's able to get out there and pitch a really good game. He's able to, at least for now, I'm not sure what he's all figuring out right now. Cause I think that, you know, the first pitch, you know, you're throwing strikes or not, and it just gets you right off on the worst foot if you're continuing not to do that. He does have some things to clean up. So, you know, hopefully he's got it in himself to figure that out as he goes. I go back to the whole trust thing from earlier. He's got the trust of this organization to do the job, and he's got the long enough leash. Now he's got to be the one to take advantage of it. Nobody else can do a ton more for him at this point other than try to coach him and develop him into him becoming that player now. And I hope it's there. I really do. I have a feeling it is. I've seen struggles with other guys. I mean, right down to, you know, Freddie Peralta. I mean, look at the trade. I mean, he went through this, and guess what, Dom? He was kind of going through it his whole career. Freddie didn't go deep, real deep into a lot of games the way I think he was held up on a pedestal, to be honest with you. I mean, last year it was like 5 innings. That's pretty much what you were getting out of Freddie. And if Sproat can get there, all right, well, and only give up a run, I guess at this point that'd be great and a huge improvement for him.
Now, granted, Freddie was much younger in 2018, but his first 14 starts as a big leaguer, 16 games total. He walked 40 in 78 innings. He had 96 strikeouts in 78 innings, which is better than what Sproat has right now. But it's just a reminder that development isn't linear and it's not guaranteed, because then he even took a bigger step back in 2019. 2020 was odd for development for everybody, and then he started to become the guy that we got to know in 2021, started to show signs of that ace that he would ultimately become. Sproat needs to get that sooner as opposed to later, but just understanding to give him some grace that it is his first year in the show. The other thing, though, we've gone too far without mentioning how strong the bullpen was this weekend, because they saved the entire series. Grant Anderson deserves some love here, too, because he comes in and gets a couple of innings to save the bullpen on Friday. He saves the bullpen again with a couple of innings today. For the Brewers bullpen this weekend, they threw 17 and two-thirds innings. You play, you know, because of the 11-inning game and then 8 innings yesterday, so then another 9 innings today. So one extra inning that you needed to cover, 28 innings. The bullpen covered 18 and two-thirds of them, Craig, and they still were dominant in this stretch. They were able to do, I should say, 17 and two-thirds over this stretch, and they only allowed 2 earned runs in 17 and two-thirds innings, pressed into emergency duty yesterday. The bullpen is how the Brewers won this series this weekend.
Yeah, there's no doubt, because, you know, the the B-level squad, you know, especially holding things together, even though they didn't end up winning that game yesterday. But Anderson's part of that B-level group here for the most part right now. And he stepped right in today for Sproat in that fifth inning. And then Drew Rahm had a really nice sixth inning as well, ends up getting the win here in this one. Your top-level guy that struggled today with command was Ashby, but, you know, Murph said, you know what, let's get to this here and get Uribe in the game. And once again, he's pitching, you know, he pitched the seventh inning, got the two outs there, came in with bases loaded. All right, gave up one inherited run there. But in that eighth inning, had that huge play to end that inning as well. And then McGill's been spot on in the ninth inning here. So they were, I don't know how they do it, honestly, from game to game, but how they can continue to have Ash, Uribe, and McGill set up so well to be able to pitch in the same games, what seems to me way more often than not, because every one of these games is close. But everybody did a terrific job top to bottom today.
And with the doubleheader looming, this bullpen is really going to be hanging right now. We'll talk about that grind that's about to arrive here for the crew, because this is the hardest week of the season to play. I will explain on the other side of the break. Brewers win 3-2 over the Diamondbacks. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 right here on your home of the Brewers. 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Couple of texts that have rolled in here. Doug, Jake Bowers is doing what Vaughn was supposed to do with the homers. I disagree on that. Jake was always the power threat. Vaughn was more the pure hitter. Where would they be without him, though? Not sure. Not where they are, that's for sure. He could hit 30 homers. Who thought that? Nobody. Keep it going. Alex from Oshkosh, 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. No problem. Just call the barrel man, Jake the Rake Bowers. Series win on to St. Louis. 855-616-1620. As the Brewers enter this stretch, they're in the middle of it now. They've got 7 of the games down of the 18 in 17 days. And now this is the hardest test of it all, because as the way that Pat Murphy describes it, Craig, it's divided attention this week. You're a week away from the All-Star break. You're thinking about, you know, Bryce Durang and Kyle Harrison. Am I going to get tapped on the shoulder as a replacement for the All-Star game? You're thinking about the guys who are hanging in that bullpen, like, man, just get me to the break, get me to the break, get me to the break. And you got the guys that are just really slumping or fatigue or nursing little nagging things that you and I don't know about. And that, on top of all of that, not only do you have a doubleheader in St. Louis, you got rain in the forecast all week. So you got the mental battle of, are we going to play? Are we going to have another doubleheader tomorrow? This is the single hardest week to play baseball across the league. Now the stronger teams tend to rise above it, but it's not the end of the world if you don't. We have seen the Brewers falter leading into the All-Star break before.
Yeah, I think obviously a lot of teams do. They just do. But hopefully they've learned some things along the way. And you know, maybe this will be hopefully a different year for them where they can stay strong. I thought it was interesting because Jake Bowers was asked that right after the game on Peacock today on the TV telecast. Just about, you know, how you stay focused and be ready for 5 games in 4 days against a division rival, a city that, let's face it, you don't want to spend as much time as the Brewers are going to be spending in St. Louis, and you don't want to end a 5-game series with a night game on Thursday night, the getaway one. I mean, what do we got going on here? But
ridiculous.
It is just ridiculous. So. But Jake was good. I mean, he's like, you know what? We're all getting in the ballpark at the same time, early afternoon, and we're camping there, and we're going to be ready to play baseball no matter what time of day it is, no matter how many games it is. They're going to be ready to roll. They know St. Louis is, you know, they've already faced them. They know St. Louis is, you know, one of the surprise teams in the National League. So bring on that new rivalry here, you know, and take care of business. So hopefully they'll be able to get it done. But you're right about the mental aspect of that final week before the All-Star break. It's real. And it's really easy for us on the outside to say that it shouldn't be, but it is real.
You know, I think one thing that I explain to people all the time about the travel and about the difficulty of Major League Baseball, you know, it's not like everybody's sitting in first class and, you know, drinking champagne on these flights. I mean, Arizona to St. Louis is about a two-ish hour, two-and-a-half-ish hour flight. They're probably still in the buses right now, Craig, like on their way to the ball, on their way to the airport, right? Then you still got to make sure everything's loaded up. Then you still got to get the one. Then you got to load up, make sure everything's good mechanically on the team plan. I mean, they are probably not going to be in the air tonight until maybe hopefully 7:45 here in the next, you know, 45 minutes or so. That means they're on the ground losing 2 hours of time when they get here. I mean, by 11 o'clock, then you got another drive. Like, you get what I'm saying here. The fatigue starts to really add up as you're changing time zones, as you're traveling, as the heat, as the humidity. I mean, it just, I'm not trying to say, oh my gosh, these guys, these poor babies. I'm not trying to say that, but just give it a thought that if you were at work 18 consecutive days, okay, 18 straight days, no weekends, you don't get the Saturday off, you don't get the Sunday off, 18 straight days of work, that wears on any human. So this is the week that you just power through that fatigue and you get 4 days off at the end of it. It is so much harder than it sounds. I just try to give these guys more benefit of the doubt than people realize.
Well, yeah, and you know, you've grinded through it in your days. I've grinded through it in my days as well with, you know, the duties we've had with our baseball clubs over the years. And it's everyone's together on this, you know, traveling. And I think in my experiences, there's the two biggest things are time zone change, especially through the nighttime portion of travel, which they're, you know, like you bring up a good point. They're changing time zones by 2 hours and losing ground coming in to St. Louis. And I think the other one is just completely different territory. They're going from hot, dry heat in Arizona, which they've been in since Thursday night, to now incredibly humid weather in St. Louis now for the next 4 days. And they got to play a day game in the middle of that too on Tuesday afternoon. So it all adds up. It just does. There's no way any of those guys will ever complain about it. But you do have to cut them some slack sometimes when, you know, you want them to get a base hit with runners in scoring position every at bat, and maybe they can't come through. A lot of things factor in, but, you know, hopefully they can kick it into a different gear here for the final week, because going to Pittsburgh after St. Louis, ain't altogether that much easier, to be honest with you.
No, exactly. It always rains in Pittsburgh. That's just kind of what we're used to dealing with at this point in the calendar. Well, appreciate you as always, Craig. We will talk to you tomorrow from that first game in St. Louis as the Brewers get ready to start the home stretch of the first half. They will be doing so still as a first place team and still 22 games above 500. It's pretty remarkable.
It really is, man. They're something. And you know, through this stretch too, Dom, they're still six ahead of the Cubs. So, and that includes a series loss to them. So, they're doing great here right now. They're grinding it out. That's what they do. And all these close games, most of them are turning into wins, and it's been a lot of fun for the fans.
Yeah, when that series loss ended against the Cubs, the Brewers were up 5.5 games on the division. They will now arrive in St. Louis up 6 games in the division. So even in a week, they didn't lose any ground. So things are looking up. Craig Kishon, appreciate you as always. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend, my friend.
All right, we'll do, Dom. Thanks.
All right, Craig Kishon joining us on WTMJ. I'm going to do a little soapbox rant coming up next, talking about streaming and Peacock and everything that goes on into that. Brewers Extra Innings, though, is also brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. Maybe it's a little bit of glass houses. I don't know. I'm not going to throw any stones, but let's talk about why people are frustrated with the visual product right now. Don't worry about us on radio, but let's talk about it here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Happy flight. On to St. Louis. We're going to the bottom of the hour here on 620 WTMJ. You know, today I'm being careful with my words here. I'm Dominic Catronio because I'm somebody that works in the broadcast industry, right? But I'm also somebody that's a baseball fan, and I see the fan's voice. And this is where I'm going to tread carefully because I got one foot in both booths, right? I got one foot in the radio booth. I got one foot in the television booth. Today, I wasn't working stats because the game was on Peacock. And today was part of a national campaign for Star Spangled Sunday, however many times Steve Perfume said it today, that Peacock paid to get the exclusivity of these games. Now, multiple things can be true. You could already have Peacock and not bat an eye in the world, okay? And I'm one of those people. I have Peacock. I watch a lot of golf. My fiance likes to watch a lot of Bravo. It all works out, okay? I already pay for Peacock. I'm a paying subscriber. But I'm thinking about the fan who started this season thinking, okay, Brewers TV, I now got to get a new service if I already have cable, but I got to make sure it's on my channel. Oh, wait, I have YouTube TV, which means that I'm not able to get Brewers.TV. I have to get MLB.TV. Okay, oh, wait, this game's on Fridays on Apple. Okay, I watch Ted Lasso. I'll get Apple TV. Okay, wait, Saturday game's only on the air. It's over on Fox. Okay, well, I guess I got to make sure my antenna works. Oh, okay, Sunday's on Peacock. Do I pay for that one? Do you get my point? We're making it too hard. We're making it too hard. Now, cable, for the kids who don't remember, cable solved a lot of these problems for a whole generation. Hey, we take all the guesswork out of it. Here's this little box. You plug it in. You get all the channels you could ever imagine. Too many that you probably need, but you're going to pay for all of them no matter what. Now we're in this a la carte mode where you get what you want, but those networks realize, wait, we don't get the carrier fees anymore that we got from these cable companies. We need to make sure we get money, and we make sure we get every single dollar we can get out of the baseball fan, out of the sports fan. Right? Think about what's going on in the NFL right now, where playoff games are streamed. That's going to happen one day in Major League Baseball. I hope it's not anytime soon, but it's going to happen. Right? I think that the way that you win over more fans, and this is not going to be a subject for this year's CBA because it's a media rights deal. It's not a collective bargaining issue. It's a media rights. All the media rights run through the 2028 season as they currently stand. Netflix is trying to get more involved in the game. Apple is trying to get more involved in the game. NBC has obviously acquired the rights to ESPN's package. ESPN retained a small portion of it. It gets very complicated to understand every single bit of minutia that goes into this. But what I'm asking Major League Baseball to do is if I am being forced to pay for a service to watch my team play, give me something unique, okay? At least Apple is a different crew. It's a different styled package. It's a different presentation. Same thing with Fox. Same thing with NBC Sunday Night Baseball, right? But today was not Sunday Night Baseball. Today was not an NBC-branded broadcast, aside from a read for the Minions movie and Universal Resorts every now and then. Right, it was just an ad vessel. It wasn't anything unique about NBC doing the game. They used the Diamondbacks play-by-play guy in Steve Perfume and the Brewers color commentator in Tim Dillard. That's lazy. That's nothing new. The same MLB package that we see on Brewers.TV or DBacks.TV. That's lazy. It's nothing new. So again, if you're asking fans to pay for something, give them something different. That's all I'm asking. Or if you're going to make them pay for something, give them all the games. And that should be on the table in 2028, where I know we have national exclusives, and the reason why they do it is because they got to pay for Joe Schmoes like me paycheck. I'm just joking. But the reason why you do a national exclusive as an NBC, as a TBS, as a Fox, especially heading into the postseason, is so that you can get all that postseason eyeballs. You get reps for your crews to work together. And furthermore, you can sell better ads as a national exclusive. You tap into both markets. You get local sales. You get national sales. It's a business, man. Everything about this is a business. And I just hope that the fan isn't getting priced out because it's only getting worse. There's a word I can't say on the radio that makes me think about how everything has gone since we left cable. And it applies to a lot of things in life these days, how everything has just gotten a little worse. I just hope that we can stop this trend before it gets any worse. All right, soapbox rant is over. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, as the Brewers win 3-2 coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get the victory. Let's pick a player of the game, shall we? It's brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive into summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit i8milwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. You could do the entire bullpen. Only one earned run allowed in five innings. Jake Bowers for the go-ahead two-run shot. Joey Ortiz for the clutch insurance RBI single. All good options. I think I'm just going to give it to the unit of the bullpen, given how exhausted they've been lately and how much the Brewers have relied on them for these two wins in the desert. Pat Murphy talking about the final play of the game with Sal Frelick jumping into the screen, into the short wall and hanging on, and the Brewers taking a series from the Diamondbacks.
No, you could see down there, but he came away and he had time to look on his face. And I'm like, God, Sal. I didn't know if he was in or out. You know, I thought maybe he was out of play. I couldn't tell. He hits the ball so hard, Corbin Carroll. Like, he has such a bat speed. You know what I mean? He hits the ball so hard that I thought, oh, my God. Phil, here, I'll hold it for
you. Oh, thanks.
You know, he does. He holds the ball super hard. I mean, he hits the ball super hard, so I couldn't tell. I thought it was going out of play, but would catch myself. And he didn't dive, did he?
Well,
usually he
the stands.
Usually
he
slows up the
stand. He leapt.
Yeah. Unnecessarily.
Eye of the beholder.
Sal always trying to make sports
sound. Speaking of hard hit balls, was the theme of the series maybe? Hard hit balls
don't work,
guys?
It was a lot. I don't know how many. I was just counting that as you walked in, actually. I'm a little worried that we think alike. we had a bunch right at people, and so did they. So did the ball Marte hit, and what inning was that?
Seventh.
He hit a ball to left field. What was it?
116.8.
And before that was the swinging bunt hit by Ottawa, I think, or Troy. That was like 65.
Yeah, well, the ball hit the left field at 116. I would have taken the over. You know what I mean? That ball was crushed. So they had some bad luck too. But their kid pitched great. You know, Sproat bobbed and weaved. That's not it. You know, you can't go four innings, 100 pitches, or whatever he did. But Anderson was clutch. Rom-Com was great. Uribe, great. You know, this is all about the pitching performance today. McGill, Uribe inning at two-thirds. Anderson inning two-thirds. That saved us. Rom-Com with the big out. And then Bauer's clutch and the double play that Terang did, and Gary Sanchez's base running. Going from second to third, then Ortiz's hit. Does he score on Ortiz's hit?
On the fly ball, right?
Huh?
Yeah. Fly ball,
yeah, he went to third. Yeah. Went to third on the fly ball. But when, before the season started, if you would have said to me, Drew Rahm's going to get a win and Gary Sanchez is going to win the game on base running, I would have taken the under.
The bullpen was amazing this series.
Yeah. Ashby wasn't very good. Ashby wasn't very good. But he's been great for us. That's the way it goes. Guys go up and down. Relay was great.
Big knock from Bowers, too. They're in the third time through. I think that was against Elon.
That's a homer. Yeah. He's been doing it all year. It's a key. He's locked in. You know, he's trying to be a hitter, not just a power guy. Doesn't get down to himself, and you let him keep playing. If you keep him in there, good things happen. Vaughn came up with a big hit, too. Don't forget that. Churio had a couple nice hits. Hamilton made a great play on a bunt. I'll say Sanchez base running play of the game. Underrated play of the game. Go on the record with
it. How did you view Sproat's start in totality? Only four innings, but he did battle a little.
That's not good enough. I like the kid. Yes, he did battle. But we're not here for triers. You know what I mean? You got to get it done. So we got to save our pen today. Anderson can't go in any at third. inning two-thirds, and Uribe can't go in inning two-thirds. We've got to save our pen for the win. We'll take the win, but, you know, we're depleted going into tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's 100% the truth. We've talked about it too many times about Brandon Sproul. He knows it. I promise you he knows it. He wants to go 5-6-7. He is still learning what it takes to be successful in the big leagues. But that's the manager, Pat Murphy. Let's relive it with some highlights coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho-ho-ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Finale, Brewers, Diamondbacks of the regular season series against the Snakes. The Brewers sending Brandon Sproat to the mound against the Arizona All-Star Eduardo Rodriguez. And it was the D-backs who scored first in the bottom of the first. Back-to-back RBI doubles, one from Perdomo and one from Carroll. That made it 1-0. I should say back-to-back doubles. Carroll's drove in a run. So it's 1-0. And Sproat would continue to walk a tightrope throughout his game. His command was all over the place. He would walk three batters, allow two leadoff men to get aboard, but left them stranded in scoring position, including doing so in the fourth inning. The only problem is he was at 92 pitches through four, so he had to be lifted for the bullpen, and boy, were they fabulous. We pick up the highlights, though, way ahead in the seventh inning. It's still a 1-0 game, and still Eduardo Rodriguez is pitching, and he's pitching very well at this point. He gives up a leadoff single to Andrew Vaughn to start the seventh inning. And Jake Bowers in there against the lefty pays off his manager's hunch.
Bowers high drive, right field, back Carroll. He's admiring it. It's flying. Goodbye, Jake Bowers. And the Brewers take the lead in the seventh. A hanging curveball drilled into the seats in right. Team leading 16th of the year. Jake rakes the Brewers into a 2-1 lead.
So they take the lead, and they weren't done in the frame with one out. Gary Sanchez doubled down the left field line against Kevin Ginkle. He took third on a key flyout. You heard Pat Murphy just talk about it there. So with two outs, bottom of the order, Joey Ortiz, situational mastermind.
Swick, ground ball, right side. Ortiz sneaks it through into right. Base hit. Sanchez can trot home from third, and the Brewers have put up three in the seventh. Joey Ortiz goes the opposite way with an RBI knock that makes it a 3-1 ball game.
That was a key insurance run because in the bottom of the seventh inning for Arizona, they would get some activity going. An infield single for Tommy Troy, then a single by Geraldo Perdomo, a walk to Corbin Carroll, loaded the bases. Abner Ribe had to enter this game. He got the ground ball he wanted, but it was hit too slowly to turn two. So it would score the second run of the game for the Diamondbacks. Now, the tying run 90 feet away.
And a lot of bend but not break today for the Brewers. 2-2 to Kepler. Swing and a miss. Got him with a sinker down and in. 99-mile-an-hour bowling ball there from Abner Uribe, and that'll retire the side. Good job by Abner again.
Brewers failed to add insurance in the eighth. Then Abner had to return for the bottom half, and it all started with a leadoff walk. Last thing you want to see, Eldemar Vargas. He stole second base. Tim Tawa tried to drop down a sacrifice, or hit a little chopper back to the mound, not a sacrifice bunt. So runner on second, one out, lefty Pavin Smith is in the box.
3-2. Is a liner right into the glove of Terang. Spins and throws to second, and they double him off. Oh, where was Vargas going? That ball was smoked right at Terang. And Vargas slow to get back to the bag after that ball was hit. I think his first step was towards third with how hard that ball was hit. And the Brewers able to double him off and get out of the inning.
That was massive for the crew. Some batted ball luck going their way for once this weekend. And one more time, the Brewers did not add on in the top of the ninth. So Trevor Megill came on for the bottom nine, facing 9-1-2 in the order. He got Troy to fly out. He walked Ketel Marte, though, as the tying run. Perdomo would pop out, so it's all down to the best hitter on the Diamondbacks, Corbin Carroll versus Trevor Megill.
0-2 is a high fly ball right field. Long run for Frelick. Still on the move into foul territory. Jumps, and he made the catch up against the wall, and this ball game is over. Sal Frelick sacrificing his body like only Salvatore can, and the Brewers win it 3-2.
How about it? The Brewers hang on. They win the series some really tight contests this weekend, and they move to 22 games above 500 once again. Brewers had 3 runs on 7 hits, 1 error. Diamondbacks had 2 runs on 7 hits, no errors. The winner for the first time as a Brewer is Drew Rahm, despite only facing one batter. The loser is the starter, Eduardo Rodriguez, save number 13 for Trevor McGill. It's on to St. Louis. Let's preview that series next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win today 3-2. Now we're all going to become amateur meteorologists this week in St. Louis as the crew get ready for 5 games in 4 days. 6:45 first pitch Monday night. We're on the air at 6:10 with the On Deck Show, Bill Blavinards. Split doubleheader on Tuesday, 1:15 and 6:45. Wednesday, we're back to 6:45, and Thursday, we're back to 6:45. That's right. It's a night game getaway day in the middle of summer. Thanks, Cardinals. Unbelievable. It just can't happen the week before the All-Star break. It just can't happen. The Brewers will then go to Pittsburgh for a Friday night game, a Saturday midday game, and then a Sunday early day game to the Central time zone. So that's what's up ahead. Shane Drouin will take the ball tomorrow. The left-hander will get things going for the crew. He'll be up against the righty Dustin May. The last time the Brewers saw him, he nearly had a perfect game in Milwaukee. The Brewers then responded by having an epic rally in the 8th inning. So it'll be Drouin versus May tomorrow in Game 1. Then Miz will start Game 1 of the doubleheader on Tuesday. It's TBD whether it's Michael McGreevy in Game 1 or Game 2, depending on which game has the 27th man. Remember, the road team decides who gets the 27th man. Then the Brewers have TBA listed for Game 2 of their doubleheader. That will most likely be Robert Gasser. Wednesday, it'll be Kyle Harrison against Andre Pallante. And then Thursday, TBA again for the Brewers. That's most likely to be Logan Henderson against Kyle Leahy for the Cardinals. So we'll have post games after just about all of them this week. Our producer has been Evan Witalison. I'm Dominic Catronio. Good night. Brewers get the win. Keep on swinging.